I'm glad we're just commanded to make a joyful noise. Some people know how to do it right. Amen. Amen. All right. Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number one. We appreciate again the chance to be back right here. We love you folks. Thank you for all the prayers that you sent up on behalf of Miss Vicky and for this church and y'all, what y'all have done to be a help through the years, and we rejoice in just being able to co-labor together, amen, getting this gospel around the world. Sighted Brother Zurek, amen, or Zurek, or whatever, however I get somehow or another. But anyway, it's a break with a Z, right? You said a break with a Z? A rake. Oh, a rake with a Z. Okay. Zurek, all right. Well, I've done my share of raking, so I can, amen. Praise God for leaf blowers. That's even better than that's a yard back, amen. Oh, man. But anyhow, it's good to get to meet him and to excited about New Guinea, amen. What a need. What a need. I love to, we've got friends over there, John and Lena Allen, they're over there, John and Leanne, and they've labored there for a number of years. Their boy Matt and Becky, they're there and they're laboring. Of course, Ted Mullins and his wife was there for so many years, and in and out now, a lot of health issues and on, brothers. Brother, Brother Gray, and his wife, just she died over there, from what I gather. Her dad died in Australia. Just gave their lives, amen, and. I'm thinking about, was it Darlene Rose? Darlene Rose. It was used to be a story, a lady by the name of Darlene Rose that was there during the World War II when the Japanese invaded. And her husband died there. They were missionaries, and her husband died, but she lived through it to tell the story. She traveled all over telling the stories about the days of the Japanese occupation and what they went through as missionaries there in New Guinea. And anyhow, boy, just praise God for a mission field that the Lord's raised somebody else to go back to. Amen. And so Romans chapter number one, if you would, let's stand together for the reverence to the reading of the Scriptures. Romans chapter number one. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have the prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now we would not have you ignorant, brother, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. So as now as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, in our hearts, Lord, we rejoice knowing, Father, what you're going to be doing with this, our brother and Lord, his wife there in New Guinea. We rejoice, Father, that you've wooed their hearts and directed their paths. And, Lord, they're going with, Lord, the promise that you're going to honor your word. And, Father, that you're going to use the gospel to change lives. And, Lord, it's our heart's desire this morning to be obedient to you in what we preach. And, Lord, we know here Brother Josh has been faithful the 5 years now laboring to preach your message, Father, and to keep this part of the mountains, Lord, evangelized with the gospel. Lord, people can go up and down the highways and the byways and pull off on the side road and come up to this little mountain church, and they can set through a service and leave out saying, I've heard truth. And Lord, it's exciting in our hearts to know that as a reality. And now, Father, you've led Vicki and I labor through the years in the ministry, Lord, Victor Baptist Press, these 37 years now, printing your word and putting it in the hands of sinners. Father, it's our prayer now, God, that you'd help us. We confess our need to you. Lord, if someone sits here this morning that doesn't know you and the free pardon of sin, it'd be our prayer that you would woo that heart through mercy one more time. And then if there's anybody here this morning that's become cold or indifferent or sin has slipped into their life, I pray, oh God, that you would work that only you can do. Lord, help us all to leave here this morning saying, truly, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we'll ask you now to honor, Lord, your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Romans chapter number 1, the first 17 verses, is where we're working or preaching from this morning. And call this message the anatomy of the gospel. He said, talking about in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. He said, for it is. There's verses in the Bible. We call them defining verses. And this verse is one of those verses. The gospel defines right here in this book. Amen. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Aren't you grateful today for the day that you heard the gospel message? 99 times you'll find the word gospel in your King James Bible. It may read the gospel of God. It may read the gospel of Christ. It may read the gospel of salvation. It may read the gospel of peace. Here he says the gospel. Amen. Thank God today for the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he said. I'm thinking about this morning Paul described it in 1 Corinthians 15 in verses 1 through 4. I'll just read 3 and 4. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm telling you, friend, I don't ever get over the gospel message. Praise be unto God for what is done in my life, what is done in your lives, what is done in the lives of people that I love dearly. I'm talking about the gospel this morning. I remember when I was in school, we had biology classes. And we would dissect frogs and lizards and all kind of stuff, little pigs and all that kind of thing. But anyhow, y'all remember that with the scaffolds and the pins and the boards. Maybe nowadays they don't do it in school. I don't know, but back when I was in the 60s, that's what we did. And you'd learn a little bit about anatomy. I remember when I was a boy, Daddy'd be, we'd be, you know, this time of year, good hog killing time. And we'd always raise hogs. And Daddy would shoot a hog down in the field, and we'd take the tractor down there and drag it up to the sycamore tree. That tree still stands there today. And there'd be a block and tackle up in that tree with a chain and a rope, and there'd be a 55-gallon barrel of boiling water there, and we'd hoist that hog up into that tree, and then let it down in that boiling water, dip it, and scrape that hog and get it ready for its gutting out. Then Daddy'd get the knife out, and he'd start cutting that hog up, and he'd say to us boys, y'all need to watch me now. There's gonna come a day you'll need to know how to do this. I think about mission trips we took to Mexico so many times. Down there, go by somewhere where they got a goat up on the a fence rail or some kind. They got that thing spread open on the side of a tree, we had a group there from Brother Mangus's church one time, up there Louisville, Kentucky, and there was one of them ladies says, "Stop the bus, stop the bus." And they had that hog opened up, and the ventricles were starting to come out. And she went up in there, she asked the guy that was doing it, she said, "Can I do one thing?" And he says, "What's that?" She said, "Can I put my hands in it?" See? And so she just wanted to do it. She wanted to know if she had enough guts to touch the guts. But anyhow, it was just cute. But thinking about the anatomy of things, the Bible said that we're to search the Scriptures, amen. And we're in an investigation team, to some extent. As you read your Bibles, it's not just to do it as repetition, but we're to learn. Amen. We're to study, to show ourselves approved, the Bible says. And then there was times Jesus would say, "You did err by not knowing the Scriptures." There's things that we should study and learn. And Paul has given us a good lesson here. Now let me remind you of this, friend. The gospel. And I'll get to what it is in just a moment here, but the gospel is the sole reason you're here today. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, had you never heard it, had it never changed your life, had it never put a love and affection in your bosom for the Lord and Savior, odds are you'd be somewhere at a racetrack today. Maybe out on the lake with that fishing buddy, that guy that was headed fishing there. Or maybe you'd be in the mountains on one of these mini hiking trails. Who knows where you'd be at today, but the gospel changed you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And come Sunday and come Wednesday, you want to be in the house of God with God's people. And it's because of the gospel.
Amen.
Whenever our brother gets to New Guinea and he starts preaching and winning souls, those people, they'll change their ways and they'll change their habits, amen, because the gospel will work in their lives, amen. The songwriter said, "Those places I used to go, I don't go there anymore." Amen. Why is that? I found a better way. Better place. But we've done this. We've studied, and we'll give you a few thoughts this morning on the gospel. The word gospel, good news. Good news. And I tell you, it's a good news when I found out I don't have to go to hell. Amen. Whoa, glory, amen. Proverbs said, "It's cold water, a thirsty soul, so it's good news from a far country." I'm telling you, friend, good news. Paul said here, for it is. We was over in Wilson, North Carolina, preaching and got ready to get in the bus on Monday morning and crank up and leave and move somewhere else. And anyway, I was servicing the engine, getting the oil checked, antifreeze, and, you know, just checking the engine out. And Boy, I cranked up doing it every time. And anyhow, I looked up in the engine compartment, and there was some fractured metal up on the fan system that ran part of the air conditioning. And I saw that fractured metal, and I told the wife, I said, I can't go down the interstate with that thing spinning. It'll come apart, and it'll fly all over, and it'll just tear everything up. So we got to find a welding shop to get this thing fixed. And so get went there and got on the phone, and there was this company called Precision Welding. A guy answered the phone by about 10 o'clock in that morning, and whenever I told him what my need was, he said, we'll be here at 1 when we come back from lunch, and we'll fix it for you. And so he gave us the address. We pulled in, waiting on them to come back from lunch. They got there. He pulled his equipment out. He backed me in by the door, opened up the door, plugged in all of his equipment, got his grinders out and welder out. And we opened it up, and he started grinding and welding and doing the job he was hired to do. Anyway, on the side of the motorhome, some scripture right over his head where he's working. He finished up the job. Took him a little bit, but he finished up the job, and put away his tools, and I said to him, I said, how much do I owe you? He said, preacher, could you come in my office for a minute? Well, I did, thinking, boy, this is going to be a big deal. We got in the office there, and he closed the door, and he turned around to me, and he said, preacher, he said, I'm usually in the shop here at 7 o'clock when the shop opens every morning. He said, but I've been up since the wee hours of the morning, walking around the property out by the lake. He says, trying to talk to the Lord this morning. He says, my heart's heavy. I'm just overwhelmed with problems. His business is in trouble. His family's in trouble. His marriage is in trouble. And he just went through the list of stuff. His name was Amos Tucker. And I said to him, I said, Amos, let me ask you, has there ever been a time you've ever put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you ever asked him to save you? And he said, no, I haven't. Well, I didn't even have a Bible, but I hadn't had enough in my head. So I gave him the scriptures. It wasn't but just a few minutes. Amos slipped out of that chair, got down on his knees in that shop floor, and asked Jesus Christ into his heart. I paid the bill. We got on the road. We went down the road thinking we'd never see or hear from Amos Tucker again. About 2 years passed, and we was headed across Louisiana one day. Driving along, the phone rang, and on the other end of the line was Amos Tucker. Amos said, Brother Billy, I just wanted to call and tell you one more time, thank you for coming by my shop that day. And he began to tell me how that God had worked in his life, put his home back together, fixed his marriage, changed his life. Now his business is prosperous. He just went on. He says, Brother, he said, I just spent yesterday the very best day of my life. I spent it with my wife and children. And it's because you came by my shop. Well, I said, no, it's because of the gospel. It's because of the gospel. I'm telling you, thank God this morning for the gospel. Paul said, for it is. Let me say to you, first of all, when we look at what it is, let me say, first of all, it is a separator. Amen. In verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I'm telling you, friend, hey, thanks be unto God what the gospel does for you and what it does for me. Whenever I trusted Christ as my Savior and Lord, He separated me from my sins. We talked about Him in the depths of the sea. I'm telling you, thanks be unto God. He separated me from my sin. Glory. He's a separator. Why? I'm telling you, He changed me, and He'll change you. Well, that one somewhere this morning on an altar of repentance, they have virtually no or literally no idea in their heart and their mind. They know they're a sinner. They know they're going to go to hell. They know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And by faith, they're just going to put their faith in what He did yonder on Calvary. We sung about it. Amen. And they're going to get up a new creature, the Bible says, in Christ. And they're going to get up in that altar. But hey, if the Lord tarries His coming, in time they'll look back and they'll look to see, oh, what the Lord separated them from. Amen. I don't run with the crowd I used to run with. My crowd changed, amen. My habits changed. My tongue changed, amen. My thinking changed. I'm telling you, He separated me from the old man that I was and began making somebody different. Amen. Have you arrived, Brother Billy? I ain't arrived yet. Oh, wretched man that I am. Hadn't got there yet, Brother Bill. But there's coming a day. They was thinking about it. Amen. John 10:28, and I give unto their eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and discerning thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Circumcision made without hand.
Amen.
Bless His holy name. The gospel. It's a separator.
It is.
Bless His name. And then let me say, next of all, it's a scriptural truth. In verse number 2, He said, which He have promised before by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I thank God, God knew what He was doing. Before the eons of time, before this, before nothing became something, He knew what He was going to do.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God don't have to have a plan B? Or a plan C. Hallelujah. It's a scriptural truth. You mean Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, knew He was going to go to Calvary? Absolutely. He said that's why He came. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, John even said, I don't need to baptize you. He said, suffer it to be so. He said, we fulfill all the scriptures. Hey, listen, He knew. I'm telling you, it's a scriptural truth. Thank God. All through the Old Testament, those Old Testament saints was looking ahead yonder. Amen. The gospel message coming down the road. Is that song, just in time? Amen. Coming down the road, Jesus, just in time. It's a scriptural truth. Praise be unto God. From Genesis to Revelations, the gospel message is woven throughout this Bible. Amen. Why, it's a miracle. I heard a preacher preach a message, and you preachers, you hear a preacher preach a message, and you say, boy, I want to preach that message. I'm going to preach that message. I heard a preacher, a pastor of a church over in Greenville, preach a message on the miracle of the Bible, and I've been wanting to preach that thing now for 5 years, and I ain't got to preach it yet. It's laying on my desk at home. One of these days, He's going to let me preach it. But boy, the miracle of the Bible. The book you got in your lap is a miracle. Telling you from the first drop of ink to put that first letter where He said, in. That first I right there. And when He wound up Revelation, is all a miracle. Hallelujah. That's the scriptural truth. The gospel is Jesus Christ, the theme of every one of the 66 books. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Yes, sir.
Every one of the 1,189 chapters are links in the chain, the gospel chain.
Yes, sir.
774,746 words. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Every one right yonder by the Holy Ghost.
Yep. Amen.
I'm telling you, what a thought. The gospel, for it is, it's a separator. It's a scriptural truth. The gospel is. Why? Can you give me Bible on the gospel? Absolutely. How much do you need? Amen.
Yeah, amen.
It's here. Every one of the 31,173 verses is here. Amen. Tells the greatest story that's ever been told.
Amen.
Then let me say to you, not only is it a separator, not only is it the scriptural truth, but it's the Son. Amen. It's the Son, Jesus Christ, God incarnate. I'm telling you, on the road to Damascus, when Paul is down in the dust, when he said, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. No more questions. What would thou have me do? I tell you, hey, listen, it's the Son. Why? I rejoice today at the gospel. Well, Paul, burn out the rest of his years trying to tell about what happened on the Damascus Road. Why, he'd get it somewhere, and somebody would ask him a question. He said, well, look, just let me tell you about the Damascus Road. That day when I was headed yonder with those letters, and when I was headed yonder to catch them Christians and to persecute them Christians. Let me just tell you about that, you know. Hey, it's the sun. Why, he burned out his life. 14 books of the Bible, shipwrecked 3 different times, stripes above measure, amen. Prison more frequent, death. Hey, listen, 5 times, 40 stripes, thrice was beaten with rods or stoned, journeying often, he said. What was it about? It was about the gospel.
It was
about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son. Amen. Y'all heard the story, and I won't bore you with the time, but the old man had died, and all of that wealthy estate was up for sale. And there on an easel standing beside the auctioneer was a hand painting of the Son, the only Son, the Son that had given his life for Christ on the mission field. The auctioneer opens up the auction, and he says, the first matter of business is we've got to sell this painting. Someone cries out, get rid of it. We're not interested in it. We want the valuable stuff. Well, this is an instruction. We've got to sell this one first. Who'll make a bid? Nobody bid. In the back of the room, after waiting for deathly size, somebody had back cutter, who's the old gardener, that spent his life taking care of the boy and grooming the properties and on. He finally raised his hand. He says, I don't have much, but I'll give. And he made a bid. And the auctioneer said, I got a bid. Who'll give in? He tried to raise the bid. Nobody else would bid. Finally, he said, all right, going once, going twice. Campbell came down. He said, sold. He said, he closes up the felt and his gavel. He said, now that forecloses or that concludes our auction. And they said, what? What about everything else? And he said, well, the instruction was, whoever got the Son gets it all. He said, he got it all. And I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ come by your way, if you put your faith in Him, you got it all. Amen. Woo! Eternity future will show you and me. Oh, my soul. We can't even begin to imagine the things that He's prepared for them that love Him. Amen. And so it's about, it's a separator. It's a scriptural truth. And then it's about the Son. Amen? And then let me say to you, it's a special declaration. In verse number 4, he said, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. This gospel declared Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen, with power. That's what it does. It declares. And I'm telling you, friend, our country's going through what we're going through, and our hearts are all rent with what's going on in it. And we understand it's all going to burn up one day, and only eternity matters. But it grieves our hearts. But there in Philadelphia, there's Constitutional Hall, I believe it is, or Independence Hall, and there's our documents, the Declaration of Independence right there. Which I think is probably a copy and not the real thing. But anyway, it's supposed to be. And by that, we declared as a nation we were independent of the crown. And we cherish that declaration. And we would all be troubled in heart if it was destroyed or something happened to it. But I'm telling you, friend, this gospel, it's a special declaration. Well, that one there set a nation free. But I'm telling you, the gospel is a declaration that sets the world free.
Amen.
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 Whosoever will,
yes,
let him come.
Amen.
It's a special declaration. Why, the angels came to foretell it. The prophets told about it for centuries. The apostles and the disciples burned out their lives and gave their lives to be obedient to the command to carry it. For thousands of years now, preachers have cried aloud and spared not with one word, the gospel,
Amen.
The good news. You don't have to die in your sins.
Amen.
Jesus paid your sin debt
Amen.
On Calvary. Amen. Why Satan and the demons of hell, the devils of hell, hate it. They hate it. Well, if they had permission, this place would be ashes this morning. I'm serious. You believe that or not? I do. Hey, if they got permission to do what they would love to do, you'd be meeting in the parking lot. And it does happen sometimes. But I'm saying to you, friend, it's a special, special declaration.
Amen.
And then let me say to you, not only, but the gospel, it's a supply. What do you mean, Brother Billy? And verse number 5, he said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. I was talking about that obedience there in Sunday school. But I'm telling you, friend, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Paul's saying, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the grace. I don't deserve any title. He said, but he says it's supplied.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, friend, today, truth supplied.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a miraculous thing?
Amen.
Now, there's people, they'll go to a physician, and he'll have a certain knowledge or ability about him. And through his skill and his know-how, he'll do something that will benefit and possibly change a one's life. Make it better. Heal them. Thank God for all of that. But it stops at death. But what you got? And what I got? Just get started, amen. Hey, listen, I'm talking about a supply that'll never end, amen. I'm talking about plenty. Why wouldn't? No doubt Esau saw those caravans coming toward him, and his brother Jacob was behind. He wondered, what in the world is all? And Jacob says, it's just to get your favor. Just to get your favor. I want you to not be angry with me no more. And y'all know the story. And that supply was a large supply, but no doubt it was just going to last for a little while. It was going to run out.
Yeah.
And y'all know how that happened. But I'm telling you, the supply you got is for eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A third part of the Godhead moved in. Amen. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the supply.
Amen.
It's gospel. It's a supply. Hey, I go down to the church house and a preacher preaches a simple ABC's gospel message, a death, burial, and resurrection. My heart jumps and does flips. And I go down the road saying, hallelujah.
Amen.
And I've been hearing it for 40 plus years. It ain't got old.
Amen.
I love to hear it. Why, it supplies truth. It supplies power. It supplies grace. Amen. Hey, thank God for the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And then it's the selecting. What do you mean by that, Brother Billy? I'm not Calvinist. Don't. He said unto me, in verse number 6, he said, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? There's that song. He came to me. I'm sure glad He came to me. Amen.
Yes,
but I'm telling you, He's not willing any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? I thank God today for the selecting. Thank God, amen, that I was a whosoever will. Amen. I thank God that He sought me out. He called me out. He brought us out. And one day He's going to take us up.
Amen.
You say, Brother Billy, does that mean everybody can be saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank God today for the gospel. You say, Brother Billy, time is out. You're right. I got 17 points to this message. But we're going to cut it off here. Next verse number 7. To whom all that is in Rome beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for it is. You know what it is? The gospel is ascending. He said, called. Called to be saints. You know, really, I'd have never dreamt when God saved me that one day He'd call me to preach. Amen? But He did. Now, He's never called me to go to the foreign mission field, but He's called me to missions 22, 23 years ago. Amen? And I rejoice in that. But I thank God today that He's still sending. Amen? Here's a testimony today. He's still sending. And when you get weary and well-doing, just know God ain't got wore out. Amen?
Amen.
He's still sending. It thrills Vicky and I's heart. I probably used the illustration. I was preaching in Louisiana years ago at missions conference. And in that missions conference, there was a boy there, and his name was Nate Saint. And young guy, had a new bride. They hadn't been married. And they had their table set up with all their stuff on it, headed to southern Chile to plant churches. And I'm thinking, Nate Saint. I know Nate Saint. I know him. I've met him before. And anyway, preached the message that day, talked to him a little bit after church, went to the motorhome that night, laying in there in bed, sleeping, trying to sleep, couldn't get it off my mind. Nate Saint. I know him. Now, when you get older like us guys, like me, you get that way, okay? And it really, really does work on you until you get the answer, amen? But anyway, about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, came to my mind. Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, down in Ecuador, 1954, 1956. Elizabeth Elliott wrote that book, Through the Gates of Splendor. And they landed that plane on that riverhead, pulled into that beach, and they got killed. Those missionaries got killed by those Ecuadorian Indians. And that Nate Saint was the pilot of that plane. So I asked the boy the next night after the service, I said, are you any kin to the original Nate Saint? He said, oh, yeah, that was my great uncle. He said, he was on that plane. That was him. And he said, I'm named after him. And he went on to tell me how that all of his uncle's generation was all missionaries. And then the next generation come along, they were all missionaries. And now his generation, and they're all missionaries. What's it about? Amen. It's about ascending. Amen. It's about ascending. And God said for you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Heady Mountain Baptist Church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's ascending. Well, I'm not going to quit my job. He hasn't told me to quit my job and to buy a ticket and to go to New Guinea or to go to Africa or to go to Ireland or wherever it might be. No. But hey, listen, as the great commission of this church, you can go every time that check goes out the mail. Amen. Every time that offering goes out to that missionary, you get in that envelope and go along.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wow, they'll probably let you put your DNA on the adhesive of the envelope, amen? I'm telling you, friend, it's ascending is what it is. The gospel is something so great and so good. Could you keep it to yourself and not see somebody else have it? Oh, no. I think about my mama. I'm telling you, she was one of those mamas that she wouldn't eat until all the kids had eaten. There was going to be enough food for those kids before she ate. Amen. I'd say most of you mothers in here, probably all of you mothers would feel the same way. But they'd be sure would be ashamed if we didn't have that, if we didn't have this, if we had the gospel message and we didn't send it and we didn't give it. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the gospel's about you. It's about you. It's about the fact that you don't have to go to a devil's hell. Because Jesus Christ paid your sin debt on the cross of Calvary. He became sin for you. The Bible says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you could trust Christ just like Vicky did, just like I did, just like the pastor did. You know what? He'll put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can live forever. Hallelujah. Amen. You wouldn't have to leave out of here lost and undone. The gospel. He said, for it is. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. We pray you bless, Lord, what we said.